What I'd like to share with you today is something very important. What I'd like to share with you today is something that could change your life. And I would ask that you give me just a brief moment of your time and listen to these words and ask yourself these questions that are going to be posed to you. Many times in life we get busy and sometimes we have things come our way. And we say, well, we can do it tomorrow. And we always say, sometimes, there's always tomorrow. My question to you today is, there's always tomorrow, or is there? How many times in your life have you said or have you heard someone say, I'll do it tomorrow? You know, if we're honest with ourselves when we say that statement, that number would be real, real high as to how many times we've said that. It just seems to be our nature to sometimes want to put things off, especially those things that we really don't want to deal with. One of the most popular items that falls into this category and this type of discussion that gets put on the shelf is the subject of death and what is actually in store after it happens. For many today, they say that they're too busy to worry about it. They've got too many things going on in their life, and they'll deal with it later. Or deal with it when it takes place. The sad part about this is, though, that many people in our world today have accepted this as truth, when indeed it is one of the greatest lies that humanity has ever been told. That's right, a lie that we have been led to believe for thousands of years. We've been lied to, my friend, since the Garden of Eden by none other than Satan himself. You see, Jesus labeled him as the father of lies. And since the day that he told Eve that not listening to God was the thing to do, and nothing will happen to you if you don't listen to God, he's been telling everyone, you've got plenty of time. You see, as the years have gone by, many people have come to accept this lie. And it's not often until their own death or the demise of a loved one that they even stop to think about it. What I would like to share with you today is that it is important to think about it now. If you're listening to this CD, then you still have time. God is not through with you, and therefore He is giving you what could be and what might be your last chance to make it right. Every day people die. That's a fact. We all know that. No one likes to think about death, but it's real. It's very real. The Bible clearly tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 1, and in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, that we are not to boast or brag about tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. If we examine our lives and look back over the course of our lives, every one of us has faced death somewhere along the way. It could have been a relative, it may have been a friend, or even your favorite pet, but something or someone along the way has died. Now, the popular thing to tell someone in these moments is, well, they're so much better off, or they're in a better place. And there's a problem with that statement, though, because it's not always true. Death is real. It's very real. But so is the fact that it does not end at the grave. There's the issue of your eternal destination. Do you know where it will be? Or are you like many people today and say, well, I'm a good person, so I guess I'll go to heaven? Let me assure you, as you're listening to these words, if you have to guess or you have to think that maybe you will go, then there's a problem. Don't get me wrong. Being good is a wonderful quality. Good can mean many, many things in today's world. Good can be a talent that you excel at, or good can be how something feels, or good can be how someone behaves. It just depends on the circumstance. The problem is that when we look at all the definitions of good and how it can be applied to our lives, none of them, not one, can secure our eternity in heaven. Ask yourself this question right now. Whether you're driving down the road or sitting in your car or sitting on your couch, ask yourself this question right now. If I died right this very moment, if I drew my last and final breath right this very second, do I know, without a doubt, none whatsoever, where I would go? I urge you that if there's any question in your mind, if there's any doubt, even the smallest one, please continue to listen to these words. A recent study was conducted here in the United States that shows on average 6,000 people die every day. Now that seems like a large number, but the real question here for me, the real burden on my heart, if you will, is were they ready? Were those 6,000 people ready? And I'm afraid that it's sad to tell you that many were not, because of the lie that they had come to believe, that they had plenty of time. Are you one who believes that you have plenty of time? Do you say oftentimes, I'll worry about that later? Because you see, time around us, my friends, is changing at an extremely rapid pace. It's going by faster and faster every day. We see things happening today in our age that we would have never imagined as we were growing up. Well, things are going on. It seems that things are changing, and it is. What we're seeing is the Bible come to life. We're seeing it happen right before our very eyes. It was foretold thousands of years ago that these things would happen. But many people failed to believe it. Many people refused to believe it. Well, this may be the time in this message that you're saying, well, here comes the gloom and doom part. Here comes the crazy Bible message that everybody wants us to hear about all the bad things. But that's not the case at all. The Bible, my friends, is a book of hope. Many take it to be telling all the bad things that are going to happen, or a book that may even teach us to judge other people. But that's not the case. Many times those who are offended or upset over the message of the Bible are those who do not like the truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus taught that the truth would set us free. Satan, my friends, is a great liar. As Jesus said again, he's the father of lies, and he does not want you to hear the truth. He doesn't want you to hear the words on this recording. But I can assure you, Jesus is the truth, and coming to him today will set you free. And the lies that we're so often told will be seen for what they are. I challenge you to get a Bible and begin reading the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about the ministry of Jesus and the words that he spoke. Listen with your heart and let him speak to you. You will begin to see that it is more than just believing in God. It is more than just saying a prayer as a child. And it certainly is more than just being good. It's a lifestyle change. It is more than just saying that you are a Christian. Here is another lie that many have been taught to believe. Christian for many today has only become a title, but instead it should be a way of life. When it's really there, when you truly made Christ the center of your life, no verbal proclamation ever has to be made. It just shows. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the light of the world, and when he lives within us, he shines when we go out. And that is what coming to Jesus can do to you today. The things that once made you happy, but maybe they weren't the best choices, they will no longer have a stronghold over you. The desire for good will become stronger than the desire for bad. He will truly change your life. Again, I want to challenge you to read God's Word. Don't just take my word that this is all fact. Look it up. Check the book for yourself, and you will see, as I did many years ago, it was time to make a change. Am I telling you that you need to run out and join a monastery or a convent? Of course not. Nor am I telling you that immediately you're going to become perfect and never make another mistake, because that would not be true. As long as you live on this earth, there's going to be temptations. There's going to be times that you may struggle with issues. And there may even be times when you fail. But when God's Word reveals things to us, it's very clear. And it tells us that once we're His, once we belong to Him, He will always be there. He will never leave nor forsake us. In other words, when things seem real hard, or maybe you're not having a great day, call out to Him. He will not only hear you, but He will listen. And in His time, when He knows that the right opportunity is there, when the time is right, He will answer you. And you will feel His presence in your life. What I am telling you is that if you will follow the plan of salvation, if you will allow Jesus Christ to enter your heart, you will feel different. You will see things from a different perspective. You will have an inner peace in you and know that without a shadow of a doubt, if it all ended today, it would be all right. You will have a desire, a strong burning desire in your heart to share this with others, to share what has changed in your life with others so that one day they too can join you in heaven. No matter what the world might be trying to teach us today, no matter what you might be seeing going on around you, no matter what types of things are being taught as the truth, there is only one truth, and His name is Jesus Christ. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He leaves no exception there. No one comes to the Father except through me. So no matter what you may have heard or what you may have been taught to be truth, the real answer is Jesus. And He and He alone can prepare you for your journey so that no matter when it may come to an end, you can be ready. If today is your day to be called out of this world, I want you to be prepared. That is the whole purpose of this recording. That is the whole purpose of this message. As it has been placed on my heart, God has burdened me with this message that I want you, whoever you may be, and wherever you may be, I want you to be ready. And I will give you that opportunity before I close this message to say a very special prayer and ask Christ into your heart and change your eternal destination, or simply bring comfort to you in these troubled times in which we live. The issue of salvation or eternal security, unfortunately, it falls into a large category today called religion. The problem with this is that many people are given the idea, when they look at the world and the way things are today, they've given a whole lot of choices. They're given many choices and plenty of time to make that choice. They can pick whichever one they want, and they can pick it whenever they want, and everything would be okay. Each route has a different approach, and many of them will have you believe that no matter what you choose, you'll all get to the same place. This, my friends, is another lie straight from the pits of hell. Some may teach you that you do nothing. You just die, and you get buried, and you rot away in the ground. Others are going to teach you that you just become a free spirit when you die and you just float around forever. Others may tell you of a land of wine, women, and song and a never-ending party. Or, of course, you can always go the route as coming back as a cow. But the serious side of this is that all of these are just lies straight from Satan himself. And he wants you to believe it. He wants to make it sound so good and so enticing that it will make you come to it, because he wants you to miss out on what is truly offered by the one true living God. And that, my friends, is heaven, the eternal paradise in which he has prepared for us. The book of John, Jesus tells us of his Father's house and what we have to look forward to. He states in chapter 14 of John, verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, God made you and me, and he loves us so very much. And he made each one of us a promise that he went to prepare a place for us, and one day he's going to come back and take us there. God keeps his promises, and he never, ever will let us down. One day, my friends, one day, barring the rapture, which I will discuss a little bit later, every one of us is going to die. That's a reality. That is a fact. The Bible says that we each have an appointment with death. It states in Hebrews 9:27, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Jesus goes on to explain to us what this means. We can die once or we can die twice. The choice is ours. Dying one time is the physical death that many of us will see. But dying twice is a spiritual death. And this separates our soul from God for eternity. The second death is a choice. And it's a choice that each one of us have to make before we leave this earth. We see life many times as one big choice. It seems that everything we do involves making a choice. No matter what it is, whether it's going to the store or a restaurant or what clothes we wear, we're always making choices as we go about through life. In God's plan, this is called free will. And it involves our freedom to choose how we live and what we do with our lives while we're here on earth. But it also involves the choice of where we will spend eternity. Now, we may not get to pick how we die. Indeed, if that were the case, everyone would just keep on living, or they would always make sure it was quick and painless. What I am referring to is where we end up. It is fully our choice. But what you have to remember is there's only two choices. Back in school when we were kids, or even in life, sometimes we take tests and we're given a choice of A, B, C, or D. But in this situation, that's not the case. Life indeed gives us many, many choices, but eternity only has two, and that's heaven or hell. Heaven is the opportunity to live with God Himself in the blissful splendor of all the glory that He has created, and all of those who have made the choice to follow Him and accept Christ before they die and spend that eternity together forever. Eternity never ends. But remember, there's another side, and that is hell. And on the other hand, it is just the opposite of heaven. It is not anything like it at all. It is total separation from God, total separation from all those loved ones who have gone on before. For all eternity, once again, eternity is still there. It goes on in this place of torment forever and forever and forever. And it's not a nice place. It's not a place that will end quickly, as many will try to have you believe that maybe you could just get there and it'd be one big party with all the bad people who went, or one place that you just burn up real quick. My friends, the Bible states it very clear. It lasts forever. And looking at it that way, many of you may think, well, why would anybody choose that? Why would anybody choose to go to hell? And I have to tell you, I think about that sometime and I ask myself that same question. It just makes no sense. But you see, what happens is many people make this choice by making no choice at all. They go on living from day to day. They never give it any thought, or they just accept the lie that they've been told that they've got plenty of time. It is said that one of Satan's greatest lies ever told was when he set out to tell the world there's no hurry. And because of this lie, it continues to spread. The world has been deceived. Just think about how busy we see life becoming. Everybody is always busy. The roads have more traffic now than we've ever seen. Everybody has at least one cell phone, sometimes more. Pagers, electronic calendars, reminders. It's go, go, go all the time. We never have enough time. Life seems more hectic as the years go by. Christmas shopping promotions get moved up to almost August just so more people can have time to shop. Time is moving by so fast that people lose track of it. And then one day, they wake up dead. Now you may be thinking to yourself, Pastor, if these people wake up dead, then of course they didn't wake up. But my point is that life has passed them by. Life is gone. And they took no time to make sure that everything was in place. Oh, sure, the will and the probate matters, they're all important, and the insurance policy for your spouse is great to take care of her after you're gone, but what about your soul? What about your soul? Have you taken care of that? Because let me assure you, making no choice is indeed making a grave choice, because then the choice is made for you, and the outcome is not good. You will not be better off. You will not be in a better place. It is clearly said that one day every one of us will stand before God. And the choices that we make now are what determines whether we will stay there with Him in the glory of heaven, or whether He turns to you and says, "Depart from me, all you doers of iniquity." I cannot imagine the horror of hearing those words. And I hope and my prayer is that by the end of this message, you will never want to hear those words. I fully understand how easy it is to get caught up in life. As I've already shared, the Bible says that we all have an appointment with death, and we don't want to deal with that. We get caught up in life. We get busy. We don't want to take time. But it's something we must look at. And I truly believe that everyone accepts the fact that they're going to die. A lot of people don't want to talk about it, but it's one thing that most of us can agree on. The problem is that most people do not prepare. It is more than just making final arrangements. It is so much more. To do nothing and just die is placing yourself in eternal torment forever. You have to make some choices. Does this seem to make sense? That when we're here on earth, you know, we do everything that we can to avoid pain and harmful things. Why then would anyone choose to have those things be a part of their life forever and ever? Because if you make no choice, my friend, if you don't secure your place in eternal security in heaven by accepting Christ before you leave this earth, then the choice has been made for you. And you step off into eternal damnation in a place called hell. Many people don't want to talk about this today. Many pastors avoid this subject today because it doesn't make people feel good. Because people don't want to hear the harsh reality of this. It doesn't make sense that people don't want to deal with it. And it's not part of God's plan. The sad part of this is that so many people every day are making this decision by making no choice at all. That is why I'm sending you this message. I want you to hear these words. Many people are going through life every day, never thinking that one day it's going to come to an end. They've accepted the lie that there's no hurry. They've got plenty of time. They'll deal with it when they get old. Let me share with you a part of my personal life to show you that time is not our friend, and it's certainly not on our side. For many, many years before I became a minister, I worked as a law enforcement officer. Part of my job was a sad part of my job in that I saw life come to an end almost on a daily basis. I worked in some of the bigger cities around our country and some of the more popular areas. And we saw this on a day-to-day basis. One day it might be the elderly man who died of natural causes at 95 years old. He lived a full life, and all of those around him, they had expected him to die because he was old. But the next day, it may have been the 16-year-old girl who just got her driver's license, and she didn't see that truck coming around the curve, and she was killed after the impact immediately. No one expected her to die. They had planned a long, bright future for her, and they couldn't believe it when I'd have to go to their door and tell them that she had passed away. Tragedy after tragedy, day after day, and there was no age limit. There was no exceptions as to whether that person was ready or not. Their time had come, and life for them was over. I saw so much of this over the years. And I look back on it now, having studied the Bible and understanding God's place in this, and I have to believe that many, many of the people that I saw their life come to an end, they were not prepared for the next step because in their mind, life was going to continue. There was a long period of my life and I wasn't ready either. And I am so grateful that I can come to you today and share with you about this loving and forgiving God that we serve. And He, for some reason, He spared my life during all those years that I put it on the line day after day. You see, I was like many people. I grew up in a home where I went to church and I was taught to believe in God. You understand, I say believe in God. Now, some of you listening may say, well, I don't go to church, but I don't have to believe in God. And you're right. You don't have to go to church just to believe. To believe in something is not really that hard. You believe that right now you're listening to this CD. You believe that you're sitting or driving or whatever you may be doing at this moment. The problem is not believing. The problem is whether what you believe changes your life. When I was a child, I never gave much thought to dying. Most kids don't. In fact, most adults don't. It's not something we like to think about. During the first 28 years of my life, I thought if I did, though, I'd be okay because I believed in God. But it wasn't until one night that a friend took time to share something very important with me. He asked me the same question that I asked you earlier. If I died right now, was I sure where I was going to be? And I looked at him and I said, well, I guess I'll go to heaven. And I could see the look in his eyes as those words came out of my mouth, and I knew this answer was missing something. It wasn't the answer that he was looking for. He went on to explain to me the need for salvation, that it did not come from just believing in God or believing that he was real. It didn't come from being a good person. It came from forming that one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. He told me of how Jesus came to this earth and he died on an old rugged cross on the top of Mount Calvary for my sins, all the things that I had done wrong, and for all the sins of every person who has or who would ever live. He shared with me a scripture that I had heard many times. All of you have probably heard many times, John 3:16. But as I read those words and I looked at what it was saying, it changed my life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about what's being said here. God loves me and you so much that he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to this world to die. To die so that we could live. I had never heard this put that way. In fact, on that night when I was asked if I was saved, I asked from what? I didn't know what he was talking about. Salvation had never been a thought for me. I had never really heard about it, and it certainly didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand it. You may be saying the same thing right now. You might be saying, I've never heard of this before, or I just thought I had to believe in God. That's all. It's not religion, my friend. It's not being good. It's not going to church. It's all about Jesus and what place he holds in your life. And he has to be number one. And it takes doing something else that not any of us like to do. And that's admitting that we have done wrong. I would like to ask you to repeat this prayer with me. If you've never accepted Christ, or if you've said a prayer as a child but you didn't understand what you were doing or saying, or if you just want to make sure, I want you to repeat these words with me and say them from your heart. Really mean it and let Jesus take over your life. It'd be the best choice you will ever make. Dear Father in heaven, I come to you today and I admit to you that I am a sinner. I have done wrong things in my life, and I understand that I need to make a change. I realize after hearing these words that I need Jesus. I accept that you sent him to die on a cross for me. I thank you for loving me that much. Lord, I ask you right now to please forgive me. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart. I accept him as Lord and Savior of my life. And I ask you to help me change my ways. I thank you for saving me and giving me this chance to make it right. Today, Father, I want to begin a brand new life, and I want to live for you and strive every day to serve you. I ask you to hear this prayer, dear God, as I come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I believe that if you just said that prayer, you're born again. I encourage you to find a strong Bible-preaching church and a Bible-believing church and worship with fellow believers. Cover yourselves in God's Word and read it daily. Let it guide your every thought and action. I am so glad, I am so honored and proud that I could share this message with you today. And I pray that your life has been changed. I look forward to seeing you in heaven one day soon. There is, though, one more subject that I must address with you before we close. I made a mention earlier about the rapture. There is a time coming, my friends, and I believe that it truly and literally could be any day now, that every one of us who have accepted Christ will be removed from this earth and taken immediately to heaven in the presence of Christ Himself. Many of you may have never heard of this, or you may be thinking, what in the world is this man talking about? There may be some of you who have heard brief mention of it in your church. There may be some of you who have heard about it from the popular Left Behind book and movie series. But the fact is that it's real. The Bible doesn't use the word rapture, but it does say in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Now this is a time which we don't know when it's going to happen. Jesus said, "We will not know the hour nor the day." He just said, one day it's going to take place. His call to every one of us as believers will be sudden, and it will be without notice. He gave an illustration as he described these events to the disciples when they asked him about his return. And he gave the illustration of a thief coming to your home, but that the thief would call you before he got there. What would you do if you knew that a thief was on the way to your house? Would you prepare? Sure you would. But because you never know when an event like that is going to take place, many, many times you're never ready. This event we have come to know as a rapture will take place. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. It is written in the Bible and it will take place. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be 100 years from now, but it will happen. If you're prepared on that day and you've accepted Christ, then you will go when He calls. You will be escorted to the place prepared for you. You will not be left behind to face the 7 years of tribulation, which, my friends, is going to be an awful, awful time in which the Antichrist will reign. Let me also make it clear that some in this world, and they teaching all types of things, would have you believe that this is not a real event, that it will not take place. Many are even predicting Armageddon to begin at any moment in the battles in the Middle East that are taking place. But if you are saved, if today you have accepted Christ and you're prepared, you will not see these terrible events that are foretold in the Bible, because the rapture will happen before that. One other misconception is that many will get another chance during this time, so that if they miss the first call, they can just catch the second call. Well, my friends, this is another lie from Satan. You see, he doesn't want you to be prepared. He doesn't want you to be ready. He wants you to miss the rapture if it takes place in our generation. He wants you to go through the horrible time of the tribulation, because you see, he knows the truth. He's read the last chapter in the book, if you will. He knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't want you to. He doesn't want the truth to come out. The truth of the gospel, and that is what is being shared with you today. And the truth is, if you have heard the gospel and you have rejected it, if you have told God no, if you have said, "Well, I'll do it later. I've heard about all that stuff, but I'll take care of that later. Or I'll believe it when I see it." My friends, if the rapture were to take place right now, you're going to be left behind. You're not going to be taken up. You're going to be left behind. And there will be no second chance, because you have told God no. And this is serious business. We don't know when this is going to happen, but the signs are beginning to fall into place, and the time is drawing near. The whole purpose of this message is to share with you the answer is not that we have tomorrow, because tomorrow is not always promised. It's told here clearly in the Bible that we don't always have tomorrow. I challenge you again to read the Gospels. Listen to the words of Jesus with your heart. Listen to Him speak about the wars, the rumors of wars, the floods, the earthquakes, the famines, and you will see clearly we need to get ready now. The question you may ask is, how can I prepare for that? How can I be ready? And there's only one way. That's be ready all the time. Be prepared. As Jesus said He would come like the thief in the night. Be prepared at any time, standing on guard. with your heart saved, your soul prepared, your life ready to go with Him at any moment. Because it could be the one day that you're sitting on the couch and then you're gone. It could be that you're driving down the road or that you're at work or you're sleeping. You're never going to know when it takes place. It's just going to happen. And the only way to be ready is to already have made it right with God. The only way to do that is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and enter into that personal relationship with Him and allow Him to change your life. If you were to die today, or if the rapture takes place today while you're listening to this, I want you to be ready. I want you to be prepared. I truly hope my deepest prayer is that you prayed with me earlier in this recording. And you said the prayer. You asked Jesus into your heart. But if by chance you didn't, I want to make sure today that if today is your day, if today is the day that God calls you out of this world, be it by death or be it by rapture, that you're ready. So once more, I want to share with you this prayer, this plan of salvation, if you will. Share with me these words. Dear Father in heaven, I come to you today and I admit to you that I'm a sinner. I have done many wrong things in my life, Lord, things that I'm not proud of. And I understand that I need to make a change. I realize that hearing these words, Lord, not only about tomorrow not being promised, but Lord, about the pending return of Jesus, the rapture taking place, Lord, I need to get ready. I need to accept Jesus right now. I accept that you sent him in my place to die for me on the cross. And I thank you and can't imagine and understand how you could love me so much. But I thank you for doing that. Lord, I ask you to forgive me right now. Ask you to help me change my life and I allow Christ to come into my heart. Father, I accept him as Lord and Savior of my life and I ask you to help me change my ways. Thank you for saving me and giving me this chance to make it right. So that today you call me, Lord, I come to you. And not to that awful place prepared for the devil and his angels. Today, Father, I want to begin a new life and live for you and strive to serve you every day. I ask you, Father, to hear these prayers as I come to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you now and forever. This is Pastor Andy McDaniel, looking forward to seeing you in heaven one day soon.